Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, making things right behind the scenes, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line from the Gulf Coast Sports and Entertainment Network. You see her on the pregame, halftime, postgame, Erin Summers. Erin, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Definitely. Thanks for having me. It's been a fun past couple of days getting to see some of the rookies out at these summer league training camp practices. So it's an exciting time for the Pelicans. We're going to get to see them play for a couple of weeks, and then we'll have a little break before the season gets going.
There is such a small break between end of the season and it starts up already in the NBA. We're talking to Joe Mars about this, and Joe was like, I'd like to see the season start a little bit later and end in like July. He says, you know, that way you're not competing so much against the NFL. You're going up against Major League Baseball. But when you start in October or November and you're going up against college football and the NFL, man, it's tough, especially in New Orleans.
It is. And if you think about it, if the Pelicans were to get into the NBA Finals, then your season would be lasting until June, and that's when we're in the middle of OTAs and veteran mini camp, and everything's all focused on the Saints. And there's not a lot of time to turn back around for the next year if you're playing deep into the postseason. And I just saw recently that the WNBA is talking about playing longer into November. So then there would even be more going on in the early part of the fall.
That's not a good idea to check. When you go head up against college football in the NFL, that's not a really good idea. The ratings will point that out real quickly. Erin, who do you look at that you say, hey, I want to concentrate maybe on a couple people at the summer league that I think could really help this Pels team in, say, the 2025-26 season?
I think that when you look at this team, you have to circle Eve Meese first, because he does come in after playing a lot of minutes last season and in an unexpected role. It was supposed to be a developmental year for him, and he got thrown into the fire very, very early. And he put so much work in during the offseason. He's come back. He's bigger. He's stronger. And in talking to the players and even Summer League head coach Corey Brewer, they all said that he is much more confident, which is big, because we knew Meese came into the game late. Obviously, he came to America in 2020, so it has been a learning curve for him. And the fact that he was able to really grasp the game at an NBA level so quickly, I'm really interested to see what kind of step he can take after attacking things this offseason. And watching him these past couple practices has been a lot of fun. Lots of big dunks, lots of really big plays from him. And I think that that's going to be the next step for his game, is that confidence and knowing where he's supposed to be on the floor. And then Micah Peavy has been really fun to watch defensively. He is just turning defense into offense. He is flying around the court, and he stole several balls, gotten way of passes, deflections at practice today. So he's going to be fun, kind of really fueling that transition game, which is what the Pelicans are really focusing in on for this summer league team. They want to play fast. They want to rebound. They want to get out and run and really advance the ball as quickly as possible. So we're going to see a team that is flying around on the court. And then you have to go with Jeremiah Sears, the 7th overall pick. When you talk about speed, it starts with him. His ball handling is insane, and the way that he sees the court is going to be huge for this team. He is very young, but he looks very comfortable where he's at. So I think there's going to be a lot of excitement around this team, and they're going to be really fun to watch.
Erin, one of the players, we had a couple texts about it, Trey Alexander, who was with the Nuggets last year, but at a lower level of competition basketball-wise, but he sort of lit it up there. Kind of your first impressions of Trey Alexander.
Yeah, we were able to talk to him today, and if you look at his stats, so last year he was the G League MVP, rookie MVP, had a phenomenal season, over 25 points per game. He shot 39.5% from outside. So he does add that ability to score, and somebody that can do it from range is going to be really helpful. he has that experience playing with a Denver team that has a lot of experience because he was playing both at the G League level and at the NBA level. So when you look at somebody like Nikola Jokic, who was able to play alongside, people have linked the Derek Queen to Nikola Jokic and calling him Baby Jokic a lot because of his size, not the most athletic, but he still has really good touch. And he even today said that, yeah, he totally sees that correlation and why people call Queen that. So he comes with a little more experience, really good knowledge of the game, and he's played with some of the best in the league. So I think he's going to come in and be ready to go from day one.
Aaron, I wanted to ask you about Derek Queen because I think there's going to be some opportunity here to kind of see how he works with the traditional center like an Eve Misi at the four, or maybe even play the five in summer league in some small ball units. And I just want to get your thoughts on what you're expecting to see from Queen, both at the four and five, regarding different lineups with him.
Yeah, so far he has been playing a lot of the four, and he's been playing in tandem with Eve Misi, a lot of the pick and roll, and he is really trying to set Misi up underneath. So he said he's completely fine with that. Like, he is going to feed Misi all day, and he should be looking for lobs. But Queen does have the ability to put the ball on the floor. I mean, he can move very well. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see that from him. I have seen him take the ball up the court a couple times in practices and during some of their live time, like live play. So it will be interesting to see exactly what his role ends up being with this team, but I think he's going to have some freedom and some versatility in what he's able to do in summer league.
Aaron, to add on to that, we had on Tavon Sadler, who's the head basketball coach at Nicholls State now. But before he was at Nicholls, he was part of the group that actually recruited Derek Queen to Maryland. And he was saying one of the more underrated parts, he said, you can see he's a big man who can shoot the ball well. His movement skills are so good. But he really praised him for his passing ability. And he said once he gets used to kind of where a player likes to set up, he is going to make a very big impact in setting up another guy to score. And he felt that was a huge, huge part of his game.
Yeah, absolutely. And Queen talked about that too. And like I said, really wanting to be that for Eve Misi underneath. But his touch is so... it's so impressive. He looks so smooth in everything that he does as far as his movement, his footwork, the way that he does pass the ball and how he sees things. Obviously, in the NBA, spacing is going to be a little bit different. The three-point line's a little bit further out. And you got to get to know the people you're playing alongside, what they like, where they like the ball, how they move their shots. So once people get a little more comfortable with each other, I think we're going to really see that side of his game. But already, he looks really good out there.
You know, Aaron, I've joked with Mike and some of the other team reporters that we've had on the show, and just the constant one thing after the next with the NBA offseason. And then there's a little bit of a break, but you go from game seven of the finals to then the draft and then free agency opens. And now we're sitting where we are right now, looking 2 days away from summer league. I want to get your thoughts specifically looking into your crystal ball. We've talked about a couple players that we're already looking forward to watching over the next basically 2 weeks. But if you had to kind of predict which player really is going to make a name for themselves for the Pelicans in the Las Vegas Summer League, just want to get your thoughts on who you think that would be.
Yeah, I think that somebody that would be fun to watch is Christian Shumate. So he played at McNeese and was a part of that really fun team that we all saw during the NCAA tournament this past year. And he was known more as a 3-and-D guy, but the way that he is attacking every aspect of the game has really stood out. And even Corey Brewer was talking endlessly today about just his athleticism and his scoring ability. He didn't really realize that he had the ability to score in so many different ways. And so Shumate himself said that he kind of stuck to what he knew that he did well. And now he is trying to kind of look and see what other areas of his game he can tap into. And we're going to see a little different side of Shumate, which I think will be fun for the summer league, that exposure, being on that stage. He's very familiar with being on a big stage. So I think that he could do really, really well. And then someone that we're a little familiar with is Lester Quinones, and he continues to shoot extremely well from outside. So there's been, I think, one today, and I think yesterday, late game situation, literally no time on the clock, and he pulls up with great defense on him and sinks the three for a win. So he's had a couple of buzzer beaters in their live game simulations, but not afraid of the moment, and he's really big at knocking down some big shots.
Early on, I thought that the Pelicans really played good defense under Coach, but that has sort of faded a bit. Has that been a huge part of the summer league about playing better defense? Because I think with the Pels, we all used to now, this game is about three-point shooting and setting up, just scoring all the time. But the better teams are the better defensive teams. Has that been a point of emphasis in the summer league about better defensive play?
Yes, absolutely. And the first day, they really broke down a couple things that they want to focus in on and be known for in summer league play. And it started with playing hard. And they did talk about the last four years, they were a top 10 defense, obviously last year being the year that they were not. So it's really about getting back to being a top 10 defense. And then that includes playing hard, communicating, protecting the rim, rebounding, and staying in front of your man. And then aside from that, they want to play fast, as I mentioned before. And it starts for them on the defensive end. If you can be disruptive, be the aggressor, whether it's grabbing the rebound, forcing a deflection, stealing the ball, and getting out and running, then you're able to play faster. So for them, it seems like the emphasis has been starting on the defensive end and getting back to the way we used to know the Pelicans played hard and tough on that defensive end.
Yeah, because last year we didn't see that, and certainly injuries played a big part in it. We've had some people text in, also call in about Sadiq Bey, who they acquired from the Wizards. And we haven't seen him for a while because of the injury that he had. Can you give us a little update about his health? We know about Jordan Poole and his scoring ability, but a little bit about Sadiq Bey and what we saw of him early in his career. He was a very impressive player.
Yeah, so Sadiq Bey, he's still young. He's only 26 years old. Last year he didn't play. So this last full season that he played was in Atlanta, 2023-24, and he had nearly 14 points a game, 6.5 rebounds, and he shot 42% from the field. So he can be a consistent, productive player. 45% from outside during college. So, like, you know, he has that ability to shoot from range, be a scorer. And for him, it's just about back to getting healthy and making sure that he can maintain what he needs to do to be able to play a full season.
And then now the moratorium period is over, Aaron. I also want to get your thoughts on Jordan Poole. You know, a very divisive player amongst NBA fans. Some see him as, you know, still can be that player that was the third best player on a championship-winning Golden State roster back in 2022. Others kind of see him and look at what happened in Washington when he moved over there as maybe the empty calories, empty stats type of guy, where he'll put up good numbers and he averaged a career-high 20.5 points per game last year, but it's for a bad Washington team. So I just want to get your gauge on Jordan Poole and what you're expecting from him with the Pelicans this upcoming season.
Yeah, it's funny because when you talk to people, you either, like, think that Jordan Poole is going to be good. He played well last year. Let's see what he can do. Or you really don't like him because he has been a little bit up and down in his career. And I think everybody goes back to some of the issues that we saw when he was at Golden State with Draymond Green. But I don't know that there's anybody out there that hasn't had an issue with Draymond Green. That's just kind of the player and person that he is. So you kind of have to put that aside. And you hope that last year, getting a lot of playing time, being kind of one of the guys on that Wizards team, that he was able to really figure out his game, catch his rhythm, and that's something he can build off of here. He doesn't have to be your starting point guard here. I think he leans towards a point guard position, but there is a possibility that Jeremiah Fears comes in and does really well, and he ends up taking over that role. And then Jordan can kind of come in and fill in those minutes and not have so much pressure on him. So it could be interesting to see that dynamic early on. I cannot wait for, like, actual Pelicans training camp to see how some of the rotations are going to be, who starts, how they're going to play together, because I think there's a lot of interesting pieces, and that's going to be the key, is how they play together, especially around somebody like Zion Williamson, to make sure that everybody is getting the most out of their game and what this team can be.
And I learned this long ago. Smart players figure it out. Even if they're jumbled a little bit, smart players figure it out. It doesn't take them long. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly that all mesh for the Pelicans. Aaron, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and also certainly your insights. Thank you so much.
Definitely. Thank you, guys. Looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Aaron.
All righty. Aaron Summers, who is the host for pregame, halftime, postgame. You talk about a job. When you on a bad team trying to cover them, man, to try to keep your enthusiasm up and trying to, you know, just make it interesting for people who are watching. Aaron did a great job last year. I'd send her a note about it because that's tough. You say, well, that's her job. Yeah, it's her job, but you got to understand how difficult that job is to try to make it interesting and be enthusiastic when you know things aren't going well.